Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. We went to Caesarea, where Paul was in prison. That's where we started out, Caesarea. And where Paul stood before King Agrippa and Festus and gave his defense. And Caesarea is that's a wild place. You see that? You see, that's what you, how many of y'all have ever seen Ben-Hur, where they had the chariot fights and race and all that? They have a place right there the chariots ran, right there, and you can see it. And they had the jail. We went down in where the jails were, and then where the amphitheater, that he was there standing before King Agrippa and all of them giving his defense. And just, like I said, you just stand in awe looking at everything. When you walk on the Sea of Galilee, walk along the beach there thinking Jesus walked by. And said, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Do something for you. Do something for you. Romans 15. If I can get through this. We then are strong, ought to bear the iniquities of the weak, and to please, not to please ourselves. And that's what we're supposed to do, not to please ourselves, but to please him. And bear the iniquities or the infirmities of the weak, not the iniquities, but Jesus already did that. Bear the iniquities of the weak, trying to help a brother or sister that's weak in the faith. Somebody is weak in their, or get weak in the faith, is try to encourage them. I'll tell you this, if somebody is weak in the faith, go over there, it'll change your mind. It'll change your heart. And it'll change what you really believe in. Makes me want to help more people. And I was trying to get as much gospel tracts out as I could, trying to witness to people, trying to pass out tracts. And walking down through Tel Aviv, we went to church, and churches, Brother Morales has, he's pastored Grace Baptist Church there. It's in the back alley. It makes you appreciate what you have. And it's kind of like a hidden in the back alley. We had to go through a little doorway, and then they got a business, somebody selling bikes, and they got bikes hanging up, old bikes. And we had to walk through this doorway, and we go into the church there, and there's mostly Filipino women. I looked around, I said, where's the men? There were hardly no men. And then another missionary, he just got kicked out of part of Africa. He's a Bible PBI graduate. He's praying about coming to and staying there in Tel Aviv and helping Brother Morales and trying to reach the Somalians and all the different Ethiopians and all that. He's trying to reach them. But you walk through, and it's like going through D.C., and walking downtown, and people hanging on the corners and everywhere you're walking through there. And everybody's just, and when you walk through, they just stop and they stare at you as you walk through. That don't bother me. It reminds me of being in D.C. And we went in there and we sang songs. And it's kind of, we got there on Friday afternoon and we left here Thursday. We got there on Friday afternoon because time change. And we get there and we get in there and we start singing. And you got to get in your mind, here I am in Tel Aviv. I'm in church, and they was preaching. Plus, that night we got there, they were showing slides about Africa, missionary. Here we are in Tel Aviv, in Jerusalem, or not near Jerusalem, but near Jerusalem, and here we are there, and they got a missionary showing slides about Africa, and he's trying to teach the people having a missionary burden. The women that are Filipino, they're there because, and the reason why he has church on Saturday night is because they have to work on Sunday. Sunday's like Monday here. And the women, they work for rich people. They come from the Philippines, and they send money. Their husbands don't come. They send money back to the Philippines. But these women are sold out. Amen. I'm telling you what. They wanted us to eat. They had a meal afterwards. And I'm looking at, they had pig feet, and they had, that's to serve pig feet. I don't know where they got it from, because you can't find pork over there. I went looking, man. I'm trying to find pork chops. I'm trying to find bacon, ham. They won't put no cheese on the hamburgers, no cheese on nothing, and no meat on the cheese, none. And you just can't get it. Those Filipino women were bowing to us, and they were just real humble. They're the ones that keep the church going. And they had a couple men that, you know, just about three men, basically, and about 15, 20 Filipino women. And they just sold out trying to win the people to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says, we then are weak that are strong. I always want to be strong. I don't want to be weak. I want to be strong. And you ought to desire, as a Christian, you ought to desire to be strong, because there's going to come a time where you're going to get hit, and if you're not strong, you're going to fall. And you ought to want to be strong. And the way you get strong is getting in this book, staying faithful to God, reading your Bible. And most Christians I know today, I mean, they're young, even preachers I've known, you got to make up your mind. It's like when you're being in a battle, you got to make up your mind, I'm going to stand, I'm going to care what. I'm going to stand, I'm going to serve God. I don't care what comes, you're going to have stuff hit you. You're going to have stuff come at you, and they're going to try to stop you. So if you want to be able to be a blessing, most Christians most of the time are weak when it comes to the faith. They're weak when it comes to their love for God. They're weak when it comes to their commitment to the Lord. They're weak when it comes to the faithfulness of giving to the Lord's work. They're weak when it comes to those things. Like I said, when I got saved, and I tell kids all the time when they get saved, I say, y'all got advantage on me. You got saved a lot younger than me. You got saved. But then I have an advantage on them. And the advantage I have is I was out in the world. I lived like an animal. I lived in... I know what it's like back there. Amen. I know what it's like. I don't want to know a part of it.
Amen.
And what happens to young Christians, kids, is they don't know what it's like out there.
Right.
And you try to tell them, you try to warn them, they think you're trying to keep me from having a good time. You're trying to keep me back. You're just trying to keep me enslaved. That's what's going on with the Jewish kids over there. They don't want no more part of religion. They don't want no more part of this stuff. And like I said, I talked to that girl on the plane, 25 years old, 24 years old, man, made me want to weep knowing that this is the 70th year of the anniversary of Israel, and that's why Israel is even more, more tourism there more than any other time. But at any given time, there's 100,000 tourists on the ground in Israel any day, 100,000. Oh, about 30,000 or more. I'm probably underestimating this. About 30,000 more from America. We run into people from Indiana, Missouri, all over. All these tour buses pulling up and people getting off, and you ask, where you from? And we talked to everybody, trying to find out where they're from. And they were from all over the world. And then you had Austria, you had Vienna, you had Ethiopia, Niger, I mean, just everywhere. And like I said, we was at the tomb. And Miss Betty, we was rushing through there, looking at everything. You're like a tourist. You're looking at everything. You're going through there, you're trying to look. I know I'm supposed to be in the Bible, but you're looking at everything, and then was going out, and they have a gift shop you got to go through and to get gifts. And we're going through, and Miss Betty stopped us, and she said, we ought to do something. Man, it pricked our hearts. You're right. We went back to the garden tomb, and there you could hear the Nigerians up there singing. I looked up at them. They're weeping, just weeping. And we started singing with them. And then we got on our knees and started, we all got weeping. Whew. I want to be strong.
Amen.
You said, well, you're crying. That's not strong. Oh, yeah, that's tender heart.
Amen.
God can touch. If God can reach in and touch your heart and squeeze your heart.
Amen.
While the world around you is just, to them, it's just a money maker. You know, I remember Dr. Rome used to say, I know what's going on over in Germany. I know what's going on in Scotland. I know what's going on over in different parts of the world, Australia. He said, I know what's going on. People are trying to make a living. And that's exactly what they're doing. Trying to make a living, just trying to survive. And they're trying to get by. But I'll tell you what, you had a life-changing event that took place right there. I mean, the whole world had, man, this little place, a little garden tomb on Calvary, a life-changing. I mean, the world's history is centered around it. You ought to desire to want to be strong. Be strong and get closer to Him. And want to be strong to encourage the weak. If you feel weak, I'm going to tell you something. I felt weak over in Jerusalem. I couldn't eat hardly anything. I mean, I was eating stuff and it made me sick. And I thought it was going to be good. And some places were good. We found a guy that had a place called Cafe Cafe. And every time I saw Cafe Cafe, I wanted to eat there. And this guy, he came, he's an Arab. that was in America. He raised his Arabian horses, white Arabian horses. You wouldn't believe the horses that got him. He said 8,000 horses. When the Bible talks about they're going to come in on horses, he's a supplier. And this guy, he knew what Americans like. He fixed me some grilled chicken. I went, man, that's good. That's good. I mean, I got back to America. The first thing we did, I hit a steak shop, brother. I mean, I felt like Saul's men. I felt like, you know, when Saul made them take a vow and they couldn't eat anything, and then David, you know, Jonathan ate some honey, and he says, this guy's eyes open. I felt like and then the Bible says they came to a place in the evening, they fell upon the spoil, and they ate the blood. I almost ready. Give me a steak raw. Give it to me. We stopped in Annapolis. I went in and got me the biggest steak I could get. I mean, I was shoving that thing, trying to eat it. And Betty was laughing at me because, I mean, I'm salad, everything. I was weak when I was there, brother. I was weak. When I got back to America, I got on the ground and said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. You'll praise God. You need to go to a third world country, but I tell you what, you go to Jerusalem, it changed your life. We went in. I can't get the thing out of my mind. We're standing in front of the menorah. The menorah is solid gold candlesticks about that high. Right in the middle of the square, that's where Paul was in Jerusalem, where the Roman soldiers had to come and rescue him. And we're standing by this menorah. It's got bulletproof glass all the way around it. But they had it open. They're working on it. A bunch of men in there. I just stepped in. They had a thing around it saying, don't come in. I went in there. I said, got in there. We got a picture right there from the menorah. And we go into the Temple Institute. We sit and you go in and they show you the temple. And they show you all the priest outfits. They got everything. And the young man, they have, like, he's like I guess undercover security. He goes with us. Everywhere we go, he's there. And I start talking to him. Every time somebody was around, I'm going to talk to him. So I start talking to him. I said, hey, man, you raised in Israel? Yeah. And I said, you know, I start talking about, you know, the temple. And I start talking. I said, you know what? I said, that Dome of the Rock, can you build the temple right beside it? He goes, no. It's got to be removed. I said, you know, if you remove it, it's going to start World War III. He said, no. No, we can do that. I said, is that menorah out there, is that the original? He said, no. You know what he said? I said, where is the original? The one that Moses had. Where is it? He looked around. He said, the Vatican has it. I said, the Vatican has it. I said, and I went like this. I said, he's wearing sunglasses, so I couldn't see his eyes. And we're inside. And I said, that stinking Pope, he's always been a thief.
Amen.
He looked at me, and he went like this. He went, and then he went, he started laughing. He couldn't believe it came out of my mouth. Because there's some things you just don't say over there. He thought we were Catholic. And I said, that stinking Pope's always been a crook. I mean, he'll rob, you know, your eye teeth. And then he felt more relieved with me. And he started talking. I said, come on, man, tell me. Where's the Ark of the Covenant? Where is it? Come on, tell me. I said, I can keep a secret. Come on, tell me. He said, underground. See, that Ark of the Covenant, that brought the power of God with it. But see, when Jesus, what people don't realize, when Jesus was crucified inside the temple, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And when the priest walked in, that they say that thing was about 6-7 inches thick, that veil. So when the priest walked in, it was ripped. The Lord ripped it. It's like the Lord took a sword, phew, ripped that thing. And when he walked in, he saw it, and he went, oh. Because if you looked upon it, it would kill you. And when he saw it, then they realized God wasn't there no more. So somebody got that Ark of the Covenant out of there, and they got it back somehow. He claims they got it back. And I'm supposed to be on Romans 15. Anyway, he said that Rome had that, and I said, you got it underground. And then I started telling him, I said, look, man, there's going to be a guy showing up, Isaiah 11. He's going to be a Syrian. Y'all going to believe he's a Messiah. I said, don't believe it.
Amen.
Don't believe it. He goes, no Syrian. He backs up, no Syrian. No. I mean, it get real defensive. I said, yeah, part Syrian, part Jew.
That's right.
I said, Daniel. And I went through, and he's a young boy, 24, 25. Like I said, the young people, just like America, young people, they don't want nothing to do with God.
Right.
Same way. And you go over there, and like I said, breaks my heart seeing the young people that don't want nothing to do with God. And until you get to know him, when you get to know him, is to love him. When you get to know the Lord and you get a relationship, and I love the Lord before I got there, but yeah, I love him even more now. I love him even more for knowing and seeing where he grew up. I went to the town where he grew up. I went to church where he grew up, right in the same town. I went out. Linda said, don't go nowhere. It's all Arabs. Don't go nowhere. I said, I'll be fine. And I walked down through Nazareth. I'm walking through there looking at everything. And I went by. It was three young people out there. And I wanted some coffee. And you talking about you can't find good coffee over there. You can't find. Sheila knows what I'm talking about. Coffee's, you don't. Oh, coffee is like a cappuccino or something, and I can't stand that stuff. I want a regular cup of coffee, cream and sugar, man. A little bit of cream and sugar. So there's a bar, and these three young people's out there, and they have a bar / a coffee shop. So I go in, and the guy, I said, coffee, give me coffee. And I said, you speak English? No. I said, Americana coffee. You got Americana? He's, oh, yeah, I got coffee. And so he gets me a coffee, and I wanted to spit it out, man, really. So I thought, well, I better get used to it. And they gave us the Arab Baptist Church is an Arab pastor. And I was telling folks this, well, I got video of that, about 18 minutes of that. And I'm taking the video going around, and they're singing songs that we know. And we sang in English, they sang in Arabic. And the guy playing the piano, he could translate and all that stuff. And the pastor is 93 years old, Arab pastor of Baptist Church. We go in, we hug each other. We got pictures with him and his wife. And I thought about this. As I got there, I thought, when the war starts, he's going to be the first one they kill. They're going to kill everybody that goes to that church. They're going to kill them all. And because it's right in the Arab town. And we walked through the town where Jesus went. Then we went to Capernaum. And Capernaum is where Jesus preached in the synagogue. And we were in the synagogue. And I stood right in the place where he preached. And a Jewish boy standing there, young man, he's standing there looking. He's looking at Glenn. Glenn wears his hat. And he goes, hey, I want a picture with you. And Glenn says, me? He said, yeah, I want a picture with you. And he says, okay. So he said, y'all get out of the way. So we moved over. They took a picture of Glenn. And I said, why'd you want a picture of him? He said, he looked like Harry Truman. Linda got on a camel there outside of Bathsheba. And you ride that road, Bathsheba. You go, Nazareth. I mean, everything. Gaza, Golan Heights, all that right there. And we're riding through it. We have our own car. We're driving around. People are crazy driving there. Crazy. No, it's worse than D.C. Because the cars all got scrapes on the side. They'll run into you. And they don't have insurance like you have here. And Glenn, he gets crazy. So I'm have to yell at Glenn. And his wife's always yelling, Glenn, stop. Because Glenn gets like road rage and the thing. We're supposed to be talking about the Bible here. But we get in there and we go down. I go into a store and get some Cokes and stuff. I come out, Linda's on a camel. And I went, what in the world? She's laughing. She's on this camel. And there's an Arab guy standing there. And he says, hey, I'll give you 200 camels for her. I'm thinking about it. And Linda said, he went up to 400. I said, if I would have heard 400, that would have been it. 400 camels. But we was going down to the Dead Sea, and people are living just like they did in the days of Jesus, up in the in deserts, nomad, living out there. Got down there and just once I show the pictures and all that stuff, you'll get a better idea. But there's a lot of places we didn't get to go see. We didn't get to go see the Red Sea. We didn't get to go see a bunch of stuff. We could have crossed borders. We have visas, but the problem was, like Brother Glenn said, if we crossed borders, we might not get back in. They might not let us back in. And when, like I said, you'll thank God for America. Amen. America. Thank God for America. You get over there. Even in Germany, we went to Austria and Switzerland. Even those places, you'll thank God for being. I know, Sheila, you understand what I'm talking about there, right? It got beautiful places. We was right by the Swiss Alps. You can see the Swiss Alps on it. But I got so geared up knowing we're coming home, I wanted to get home. I really did. I want to go back, but I wanted to get home. Let's get back to the Bible here. We then are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. And that's hard to do. That's hard to do because we all like to please ourselves. And I want to thank the whole church this morning for sending us, and it changed my life. It really did. It says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. That's what the ministry is all about. And being a Christian is all about trying to, if you're strong, a lot of people think they're strong. I've said this before. A lot of people think they're strong, but they, when it comes down to trials and tribulation, they'll get mad at God. And they'll quit. And the Bible, you're going to go through trials and tribulation. You're going to go through stuff. No doubt about it. I think about how wimpy we really are. How we've got so much stuff given to us. And that one little thing doesn't go our way, we throw in the towel. And we raise kids that way. We raise kids that they've got so much. They've got it made, and they don't realize they got it made. And you know, only way you can realize you got it made is you've got to go through some hard times. I mean, real hard times. And then when you'll come back, you think, I come back to America, I think, man, I got it made. Lord's been blessed me and been good to me. I know when Justin went to Spain, it changed his outlook on things. When he got back to America, thank God for America. And God's been good to America. And we take it for granted. And I say send all the kids to Haiti, and then maybe they'll come back and change their whole attitude. That reminds me, I got to go to Haiti. So let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edify, the edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. And he did. You talking about the Bible says he bore our transgressions. Isaiah 53. Take good Isaiah 53. When you read this and you start telling the Jew Isaiah 53, they can't see it. They just can't see it. They can't see that this is Jesus Christ. And when you bring the New Testament up, as soon as you bring the New Testament up, it shuts them down. As soon as you bring the New Testament up, they shut down. I'm watching these religious, everywhere you go, you see these religious guys with all their different clothing, and I thought they were all the same, like I said this morning, but Glenn said, look at the different hats, they have different hats. Their hats are different, their religion is different. Crazy. They got men, I went, they got these guys walking around, and they got these strings hanging on them, and they wear baggy pants. They're not, Glenn said, they're a different sect of Jews. They believe, I thought it was Arabs, but he said they believe that a man is going to bring, I thought that's got to be Arab. He said, but they're not Jew, they're not Arab, they believe that they're going to be the ones to bring the Messiah, a man. That's going to hurt. That hurt. They believe a man's going to bring the Messiah. Bear like a baby, like a woman. That's wild. And we saw them. We went through a museum there in Jerusalem. And Netanyahu's house is down the road. We didn't get to go there. But we went through this museum, and we got there, and it says, Caiaphas had a box. Caiaphas bones, the high priest. I said, boy, I wish I could get that. I could take one of them bones out, take it home, and give it to my dog. Caiaphas the one. He's the one that the high priest that had Jesus crucified. I wish I could get that. We went through there. I'm telling you, everything's right there. Bible says, it says, who have believed our report? Isaiah 53. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, a root out of dry ground. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, made himself of no reputation. Amen. He had no reputation. He didn't go around trying to be somebody big. He just tried to. That's why it's better to stay low, humble, Amen. Before him. Don't try to build your name, try to get a great name. A lot of guys come out of Bible school, try to get a name. Who cares about the name? Amen. Won't be like Jesus. It says he grew up like a tender plant. A root out of dry ground. There's a lot of dry ground. When the Israelis got control of the land was dry. It was barren. Now they've made it fruitful. Amen. They've done that. And the Arabs want that land. Right. Why? Because they brought forth. They're preparing. The Israelis are preparing for something. They said we know something big's coming. We know it. We don't know what it is, but we know it's coming. I know what it is. How would you like to say, I know the book of Revelation. And I wanted to weep over the kids. I wanted to weep over the people, knowing what's coming. If I knew my own life, how I was going to end up, I would try to avoid that if I could. If the way I was going to die or if I was killed in a car accident or something like that, you'd say, if I knew that, I would try to avoid that. Here we know the future of the whole world, what's going to happen. And the Jews, they don't know. They believe Messiah is going to come, everything's going to be great. But the Messiah that shows up is going to be the Antichrist. And he's going to deceive them. 7 years. I was reading this morning, we stood on the Mount of Olives, and that picture right outside there, right on the wall, that's the same spot we stood. I got the same picture of Jerusalem. The eastern gate is blocked up. That's called Herod's Wall. The inner wall is the old Jerusalem. And I'm standing up there, and I'm looking at the, and you got Arabs up there selling. I bought a hat up there, had Jerusalem on it. I bought that for my grandson, Israel. I said, Israel, I got your hat. Your name is Israel, and Jerusalem is going to be on the hat. So, anyway, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, for we shall see him, and there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, the world, he was in the world, and the world knew him not. And the world, he came along, he wasn't trying to bring attention to himself until, and I thought, I was sitting there looking at all these people coming to Jerusalem, all these people there, all these religious crowd, all this stuff going on in the world, and that's centered right there around one man's life. About one man's life. How he lived and how he died. And he died for the whole world. He has despised and rejected the men. We're standing near a gate or a railing. Glenn and I get a picture. Brother Glenn and his wife there. And Brother Morales and his wife took pictures of us. And we're standing there. And I look up and I look back and there's Arab kids. Arab kids. Jews are not allowed on top of the mount. But Arab kids up there laughing, pointing down at us. And you know what they're saying? Suckers. Look at them stupid people. Down there worshiping a dead man. That's what they've been taught. Look at them stupid suckers. We go into the tomb where the very tomb he was placed. All history, man. Right there. He has despised, rejected a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we have hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned away, turned every one to his own way. And that's the way the church is going right now. The church is turning everyone to his own way. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, are you going to forsake me? And all of a sudden, when Peter thought, this is the way we're going to fight. We're going to fight. And so when Jesus said, put up your sword, Peter. They that live by the sword shall die by the sword. Peter got mad. And Jesus reached down, put the ear back on the servant of the high priest, put his ear back on, and Peter gets upset, and everybody forsook him. Everybody. And the Bible's true. I mean, when it comes down to being forsaken. I don't want to forsake him. The Bible says, ye which are strong, bear the infirmities of the weak. I want to encourage people. Amen. Live for God. Amen. It's worth it.
Amen.
It's worth it. Amen. It's going to be worth it in the end.
Right.
You get so caught up, we get so caught up in life, trying to make a living,
right,
trying to provide, trying to get things going, trying to, you know, all that stuff gets caught up. I don't know how I could, I wish I could just somehow, or the Lord could give it to us where we just wanting to serve him with all our heart and all our mind, all our strength. I wish that some way we could do that. But most Christians don't have that. We don't, and I don't have it either. I want more of it.
Amen.
I want more. Yeah, what would make a guy and his wife got six kids go over to Israel knowing you ain't gonna have no big church? It might even cost you your life. It might even get you expelled, get kicked out. What would cause a guy to go to the mission field? To go and do something like that. It has to be love. If he's doing it just for a job, to get out of work and all that stuff, I'll tell you what, that's crazy. That's crazy. You've got to do it because you want to serve him. You know why the bus routes, you got to do it because you want to love him. You want to see kids have a chance. The ministry, it should be because we love him. It ain't about, you know, getting a position, getting a name, getting something. It should be about loving him, showing him that we love him, not to please ourselves, it says, not to please ourselves, but to give him glory, honor. When I was sitting in that church in Nazareth, I'm sitting there, and I'm videoing, I'm going, I'm in the city. I'm in the city where he grew up. I'm right here. I walked down the streets. I said, I'm in the city where he grew up. He grew up like a tender branch, playing in the city. Then when when the Bible says they walked everywhere or they rode a wagon with a, we went hundreds of miles from Dan, north, Beersheba. If Jesus came from Nazareth to Jerusalem, that wasn't just like right next door. That was a day's journey. The Bible says when they lost Jesus in the temple, in Jerusalem, they were a couple days out. And then she realized, we don't have Jesus.
Right.
And they go back. I mean, you talking about days out. And that's what gets you. Everywhere, there is hardly no flat spots. The only flat spot that you could see was Megiddo. We went up on Elijah was on the mount. Mount Carmel. The Catholic Church, see, religions got in there because it's a moneymaker. You got the Greek Orthodox. You got the Catholic Church. We was up on Mount Carmel, and they got a statue up there, Elijah, with his foot and a sword in his hand on top of the priest of Baal. And you walk into the Catholic Church, and you have to go up the Catholic Church steps in their bookstore, and you go up to this plateau, and we got pictures of the plateau, and you look out and you see the Valley of Megiddo. And that Valley of Megiddo, 200 million men are going to be in there. And I said to Glenn, I said, which way they're coming? He said, from the east. And he pointed, from the east. You got Jordan, you got Syria, you got, you know, and they're surrounded. So you're looking at Brother Morales lives in the Megiddo Valley. Lives right in there. Whew. Man, we're going to stop right there. Hope I can preach this morning.